everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium and Gale Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is a preeminent law firm out of Lake City, Florida, serving North Florida since 1985. And you give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust, and estate planning. Well, we come from you. I'm in Tupelo, Mississippi. Dev, I think you're here as well. Hunter, I believe you're still in Oxford, and we are fresh off a 34-24 defeat to our potential future head coach, Lane Kiffin, and the 10-1 Rebels. How was your experience in the Grove, Dev? Just talk about the game day atmosphere and our warm welcome we had.
Yeah, it was a fun experience. I was reliably informed by the good people of Mississippi that you're not allowed to start a tailgate until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon for a 6 o'clock kickoff. So, but it was a good time. They showed out. It's a cute little spot they got going on out here in Oxford, and you know, it's a shame that, you know, this is their glory days. They're in the good old days, and hopefully we can be the Grinch and steal their coach and put them back where they belong in the SEC, because that is a middle of the road SEC environment. It's a tiny stadium, no real tradition. They just play loud music over the speakers and sounds like, you know, I could whisper to my parents and my friends sitting next to me while we were on offense. So they weren't loud. Wasn't a special environment. I read that Ole Miss fans were saying it was the best in stadium environment they've ever had, and that's quite a shame because it was average. So we got to save Lane, man. We got to save Lane. So yeah, it was a good time.
I don't know if you guys have seen that GIF on Twitter, but it's like the guy that's infatuated by all the lights in front of him. That's basically what this was with a program that's got a 98% acceptance rate into the university. I mean, that's how they're entertained. It was a pathetic in-game experience, a lackluster crowd, despite being a record-breaking night. Hunter, first time in the Grove. What were your thoughts?
Had a great time with the boys. Shout out to a lot of listeners that came through. We actually had the Cincinnati Gator boys. I want to give them a shout out. They came bright and early. They were with the Gator crew that showed up before noon. As Devin said, most of the Ole Miss fans slept in. I guess you're not allowed to start till a few hours before. That's a Grove specific rule, but we had a great time. We walked, I would give a little bit of a shout out to Southern Hospitality. They actually had a shrine waiting for us. And they had this thing called the Walk of Champions. And so it goes from like the front to the back of the Grove, almost in the middle there. And they had it ready for us, the Walk of Champions. We walked up and down that thing, you know, talking about, you know, the different basketball national championships, obviously just coming off of one, the different football national championships. So it was pretty fun. They tried to claim it was there for them. I was very confused. I asked multiple times what championships they had, and they don't have any. So I don't really understand what they were thinking there. But we had a great time. We had an awesome time. I think Dev hit the stadium atmosphere analysis correct. It was like an EDM concert in between every timeout. I don't know how you guys took it. I took it as like they just can't get loud enough on their own, so they have to have every bit of theatrics and tackiness as possible. I just wasn't impressed. It was full. I'll give them that. I mean, the stadium was full. There was a lot of people there. Just
of course it was full. Yeah.
We had to help them with that. That's what we were saying on our Walk of Champions. You know, we were there to help them sell out a stadium, so we did just that.
Yeah, I think the best part is when you came back, Hunter, and you said that they won the 2003 Western Division. And I had to remind you, they've actually never been to Atlanta. They tied LSU at 7-1 in league play. But a big part of that was they lost the head-to-head, the LSU. So that's why they were not in Atlanta. So
crazy.
Pretty wild that they claimed that as an SEC West Division title. Sam, you're out there, you're watching on TV. There's a large Gator gathering in the Grove and in the stadium. Hunter and I sat right next to each other, two sections over, but on the aisle. Dev is over there by the Gator Band. A lot of Gators in attendance. Were you able to hear the on TV?
No, definitely. It looked like it. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say I heard it because maybe on a couple of the touchdowns here and there that we scored, but you could see it a little bit. And definitely just want to say it's really great to see you guys. And you're out of there safe and sound. I know the big bad folks of Oxford and Ole Miss, they were talking dangerous on Twitter. You know, what section are you boys sitting in? Really glad to see you guys. I was really concerned about it. I know you guys were ducking and weaving some beer cans here and there, which I find ironic because I think the whole like uniting point of Lane Kiffin's time at Ole Miss was when he was dodging golf balls and mustard bottles when they were at Neyland. So it's kind of funny how it all kind of comes around. Sometimes it'd be your own people. But no, it was a good game to watch on TV. And at the end of the game, some people were chanting, "We want Lane. We want Lane." And I was like, man, that must be a lot of Gator fans there. No, it was the Ole Miss fans chanting, "We want Lane." And he is their current head coach, collecting checks from the University of Mississippi. They have Lane Kiffin. So, yeah, that was funny. That was
98% acceptance rate, Sam.
You guys were chanting as well.
49th in the country in education. And, yeah, we were just as confused, Sam. We were saying, "You have Lane. We're just here to steal him."
I would have been like, "We won, yeah."
Yeah, I don't know if you guys on our drive back to Tupelo, Dev, or Hunter, if you guys got to see any clips of the Lane Kiffin press conference. Shout out our boy Edgar Thompson, Orlando Sentinel, who's on the show this week and previous weeks. He had a follow up question and just another layup. I believe a few other reporters had a similar question on his status, if he'll be at Ole Miss next year. And he basically said it's disrespectful to our players that we're even talking about it right now. Today was a good day, which should bode a lot of confidence for Florida fans hearing that, because I think it's more disrespectful by telling your players you haven't committed yet and we are going into week 11, you have a bye week. So you have a lot of time to talk to Florida personnel over the next 7 days or so before you get ready for the Egg Bowl. What were your thoughts, Hunter, on Lane kind of not addressing the future at Ole Miss for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's silly to do the whole, like, disrespectful to talk about that. Like, there's a way to make people stop talking about it, right? And it's to sign an extension and say you're staying at Ole Miss. But you're not doing that. You're coming to the University of Florida. And so that's why you get those kind of answers. And the other one I thought was even more interesting was he was asked a question. I think Edgar's question as well, potentially. But he was asked about the distraction it's been in the last few weeks and how that's affected his team. And he started by saying, you know, look what our offense has done. I don't think it's on the field shown to be a distraction. We've continued to win, which is fair. And he said, I think our guys in this era, in this NIL era, are used to these kind of distractions because they're getting pre-portaled and calls about, oh, come to this school for this amount of money. So they know how to handle it. I thought that was really telling, right? I mean, he's basically saying, you know, well, if that's what I'm doing, you know, it's can't be much worse than what they're doing, right? Everyone's getting calls and putting feelers. It's just how it goes. So I think it's really telling and the writing's on the wall. And hopefully it all ends up with him being at the University of Florida.
Yeah, Dev, I know you had a lot of interaction today with Ole Miss fans. Thankfully, you came out unscathed from the Grove, despite all the folks we had in our mentions, not just this week, but this morning when we posted some clips about the Grove being, if the world's largest outdoor cocktail party was lame, with how it was basically a morgue for the first 3.5-4 hours we were there. What was your confidence level from the fan base that you saw, that you talked to, about Kiffin's future?
When we were walking out, we had somebody that kind of commented that, you know, y'all are probably going to get Lane. But, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I don't think anybody really knows except for Lane and maybe a couple Florida insiders on Twitter hinting at things. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. We'll see what happens here in the next couple days. See if there's any reports that come out that get us back in the podcast studio dropping a special episode here soon.
Yeah, we are just by the time this drops, I believe we are 12 days from Ole Miss's final game. They play the Friday after Thanksgiving. Gators obviously play that Saturday against Florida State. So maybe there will be news during that 12 to 18 hour period after Lane's season concludes in Oxford and before we kick off the ball one last time in 2025. Sam, there was a lot of questionable play calling from Kiffin tonight. We saw a textbook Billy Napier mishap. I believe they had the ball at the 1 yard line to start the fourth quarter and Lane burns a timeout. Were there any? There's certainly some red flags that we witnessed tonight. Any that were a major concern for you or
yeah, he went full Billy. I was like, that timeout there to start the fourth quarter. I was like, this is ultimate trolling.
You can't ever go full Billy.
The play calling was a little questionable there. I mean, and then at the end, you know, like Kawan Lacy, like that guy's incredible, man. Like he had 31 carries and like it makes you kind of think like he ends up with 31 carries. And like if there wasn't some of that questionable play calling, like he probably should have had 40 and like 300 yards rushing if it wasn't for some of that questionable play calling and like bringing in Austin Simmons for a minute there. And like, yeah, no, definitely some interesting play calling. It was noted for sure. But yeah, none of it was like, oh no, no, I don't want him anymore, anything like that. But yeah, when he called the timeout to start the fourth quarter, I was like, yo, no way.
I mean, I don't blame him. During that fourth quarter, into the third period, going into the fourth, it was an EDC concert for 3 minutes and 15 seconds. They changed from going from Garth Brooks to Living on a Prayer. Did you guys notice that? Like 30 seconds of Garth Brooks and they don't know what they're doing there. It's like you hired an intern with some sort of budget. And he's got to get everything in the 3 minute period and certainly accomplish that with all the fireworks. I mean, it seemed like they just discovered what fire is. So they shot off every firework in the state of Mississippi. And they learned you could turn electricity on and off and just kept cutting off the lights every chance they got, including when the Gators are trying to snap the ball inside the 10-yard line, which somehow was not a penalty.
It's like they were pyros that learned how to press shuffle on an iPod.
Maybe in the next 10 or 20 years, they'll figure out like in-stadium Wi-Fi and cell service within like a 30-mile radius of the stadium.
Yeah, I was the Velvet Ditch. Well, he'll be ditching Oxford in a matter of time. So we appreciate all the hospitality that the lack of that we received. We were certainly, I believe, in our confines of being friendly and nice to the folks around us. And I don't know how it was for you in the section, but we had it was an all Gator contingency in our section. So. A lot of fun despite the loss. It was nice. I compared that. I know Dev had a crazy take of what he thought of the atmosphere, where it compared to across the league. That was my 10th or 11th, 10th SEC stadium. And the only place that's better than is Vanderbilt. I thought Starkville was better in 2018 and Dan Mullen's return. I don't know if you guys were there.
I was.
But a totally underwhelming atmosphere for a 7 o'clock prime time kick. I mean, I thought you could have fallen asleep in that stadium when it was at its loudest moment, I thought.
Yeah, I think I'll give you Mississippi State, that Starkville game. Especially, that was Dan Mullen's return too, though. So, I mean, that's as like good as it's going to get there. So
Same with us tonight.
Fair. No, that's fair. Vandy, though, was crazy. Devin in the group chat saying Vandy's going to be is insane. And I'm not sure if you guys have been to Missouri. I was there pre-construction, but they got Missouri beat too. Missouri's really bad, but Vandy was insane.
Vandy's a top 15 team now, dude. They sell out too.
Nah, dude, that's
they close that place in. They're loud and proud over at Vandy. No false starts, no pre-snap penalties. It was so underwhelming, and for them to be on Twitter flexing that it was the greatest environment, it was a record crowd. The show was in town. Like they have reason to hate the Florida Gators. We're giving them reasons to hate the Florida Gators, and you know, good on them. They got the coach now, and you know, hopefully that changes here soon. But yeah, the Lane's got to get out there, man. That's It's 60,000 people in that stadium, and none of them know how to handle football success. You can tell that that's not a very football smart crowd, not a very football smart city.
Usually smart, just not a smart town, not smart people. It's not football specific. They're dumb as hell.
I get it. The Mississippi State people that can't stand people in Oxford, it makes sense.
Yeah, well, game wise, I thought that was the best Florida. We played well against Georgia. We had the capability of winning that game. We had the opportunity to win tonight. I was thoroughly impressed. We talked about it on our pregame show, our midweek show with Edgar, that I wasn't too surprised about the Kentucky letdown. You just had an emotional loss in your first game without Billy Napier. You go on the road. No one really wants to go to Lexington, but Saturday night in Oxford was kind of like an audition for your potential new head coach, and it's an easy game for you to wake up to with your future coach on the other sideline. I was impressed with the offense. I thought DJ Lagway had arguably his best game of the year outside of Texas, which was in the swamp, which helps. Outside of that late miscue, we were past the kick line for Trace Mack to tie the game with, I believe, 9 minutes and 11 seconds left. That's when he threw that interception. But what did you guys see offensively that allowed us to have success? I know we were shut out in the second half, but I thought DJ's ability to run in the first quarter kind of set up for those deep shots in the second quarter. J. Mike got a big one. Tank Abrams, he's getting his red shirt this year. So Abrams with a big catch. But what did you just see from offensively that allowed us to have some success and put up 24 first half points?
Took advantage of the turnover. It's kind of what we talked about. Kind of one of the keys was get an early turnover, make something happen out of that. So, they came out, they punched us in the mouth, and we were able to put together a scoring drive and then immediately get that turnover. So it kind of started a little bit like the Georgia game did in that sense, that, you kind of take the first punch and then fight back a little bit. So that was good to see. I thought that, when they get Lagway's legs going, it adds a different dynamic to the offense. He doesn't have to be so reliant on standing in the pocket and being uncomfortable making, precision throws. The maddening part about DJ is the good throws and then the out of nowhere terrible decisions, that kind of cost you games. When you're playing against a top five, top 10 type team, especially on the road, even if it's, not Death Valley or anything like that, but on the road against a good team, you just can't have that. So, hopefully when he's getting a little bit better coaching and a little bit more development, a better offseason and healthy, you start seeing the decision-making get a little better. So you saw some good, but still a work in progress for sure.
Agree. Yeah. Definitely nice for the deep ball to J. Mike. Great to see that because I was very high on Sturdivant. Haven't quite lived up, some takes don't quite play out like we hope they do, but obviously Jaden Baugh, he's still, what you're going to get out of him. And then TJ Abrams was impressive, but you do kind of got to wonder what it could look like if a couple of the other receivers were out there, which kind of stinks, when you're throwing it out wide and it's Hayden Hansen and there is some space and then it just gets closed up immediately and he gets tackled into gain of 1 yard. So hope those days are over. But, DJ looked better. But then, like you mentioned, it's tough when he makes good throws and then when the game's on the line and you're in position to take advantage and you're at least in field goal range, you then are making a against-your-body sidearm throw into just an array of powder blue jerseys. So that's what the game comes down to, unfortunately.
Hunter, what do you think Trinidad Chambliss's dad was thinking in the crowd? I know you had a conversation with him Friday night in the library in Oxford. What was your discussion with him this weekend, and what do you think was running through his mind Saturday watching DJ Lagway play?
Yeah, it was a really nice guy. It was cool to meet him. It's actually funny. So we met him in Blind Pig, really cool spot. It's funny you mentioned the library, though. Let me just hit on a real quick point. It was a $100 cover to get into the library. We asked the people standing outside, like the people that worked there. He said LSU got up to $250 cover. We asked him, how on earth is that possible? He said, son, we only have 6 bars in this town. I think it was an exaggeration. There was a few more than that, but that was funny. But, yeah, we saw Mr. Chambliss at the Blind Pig, really nice guy, and talked to him. You know, he was complimentary, of course, you know, Florida, you know, Florida athletes, fast, strong, excited to see how his son did against them. He did have some interesting questions on eligibility. You know, he asked me what year DJ was, how much eligibility he has left, and, you know, I told him, and he said, well, what about your backup? What year is he, and how much eligibility does he have left? I answered that question. Thought that was a little odd, but nonetheless, nice guy. And he was a little shaky tonight. I think Ole Miss fans would probably tell you the same. A little inconsistent early, obviously had that interception. There was a few passes I thought that – there was a few of those passes tonight where it was like an inch away from a pick or even a pick six, and then they were always caught. Like all of those ended up caught, which, I mean – thread the needle, right? I guess hats off to him, but he started to find a groove and was solid. You know, that offense, man, it really just feels like it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. It does, right? Of course it does, but Lane just has the guy ready because of that system. So it's cool to watch. Just
easy. Everything's easy in that
so
offense.
Easy. Everything. So easy.
Yeah. How they utilize the running back and the receivers in motion or just quick drags or get someone out. Someone's always tailing behind them and find the – we played a lot of zone tonight, and I found – it just felt like they found every soft spot in our zone. I think Trinidad finished like 26 to 35, 300 yards, really solid game outside of that pick. And, yeah, Hunter, I swear there's 4 or 5 passes where we were, I mean, half a step. If we were half a step ahead, I think Miles Graham had a pick six one way on a slant.
Yep.
And Devin Moore was in position on a lot of these and just couldn't get a hand on the ball or something. But, yeah, I was impressed by him outside of that. I haven't seen I believe it was Jaden Woods that got the interception.
Yeah.
So I haven't gone back and seen that highlight of what the read was or where he was going with that ball. But great play by the freshman. But yeah, interesting that he would ask about the eligibility. The rumor around the Ole Miss tailgates today walking around the Grove was that – that allegedly he has gotten that 6 year or fifth year of eligibility approved. It's just not announced yet. So I'm sure his dad knows that. And that's why he was poking around asking some questions, what that quarterback room at Florida looks like for the next year. So yeah, maybe that's a little inside hint of where his kid's head coach is going and where his kid could potentially be playing football next year. But yeah, Sam, we had go ahead, Dev.
I just had my fingers crossed.
Oh, I thought you were holding him up. Defensively, 5 sacks. I think that's the second most sacks we've had this year. We had 6 or 7 against Texas. Ron Roberts brought a lot of heat. I thought we really executed there. Unfortunately, we had a few mishaps execution-wise, that fourth or third and 15. And I don't know if it was Cam James or Tyreek Sapp that was lined up offsides. They end up getting a fourth and short and converting on that drive. I think the very next play they scored a touchdown, like a 36-yard touchdown pass. So there's 7 on the board after we had a stop. And that 4th and 7 to come out of the half at midfield, I thought that was a little aggressive out of Lane. Don't know what the exact play call was because that ball did get bad up in the air and, of course, ends up right back in Trinidad's hands and uses his athleticism. Is that kind of the point in the game where you said, all right, guys, yeah, we lead at halftime, but if stuff like this is going to go Ole Miss's way, the Gators probably aren't leaving here victorious. What were your thoughts, Hunter, on that?
Yeah, it felt like a lot of those bounces went their way all night. And obviously as a 3-6, now 3-7 team, to beat a team of that caliber, a playoff team, you have to have bounces go your way. And that was one where I mean, fourth and seven, midfield coming out of half. I think they're maybe on our 40 or so. I felt deflated. I want to say that drive, though, did end up with us turning them over on downs at the one or whatever it was. So
we got to pull and stand off.
Yeah, and then busted out that 40-yard play right off the bat. So we kind of, you know, it ended up not hurting us, but still, it felt like, to your point, Jackson, that was the one where it's like, all right, well, that this is how the second half's going to go. Then it's not going to be our night. But we stayed in it. We fought. But a lot of plays like that, I felt like little bounces here and there. Like we said, the passes where it was an inch away, that didn't happen. We had a wide receiver tunnel screen to a guy that bounced off his hands that looked like Jaden Robinson potentially had a chance to snatch and just run right into the end zone and barely hit the ground first. From our angle, we didn't see it hit the ground, so we thought he was taking off. But there was a lot of plays like that, and the Trinidad one was a good example there. So sometimes it just doesn't bounce your way.
It sucks that we had a four-point lead, and I think it was two different possessions that the defense forced stops and chances to get it up to a two-score game. And then there at the end, you know, we get the ball back, get another goal line stop, and start the drive with 2.5 minutes left on our own 3-yard line and get a pass interference picked up for no reason. So you really don't even get that drive off the ground. One of those frustrating things of a bounce, or in this case, a call. Not going your way. It's frustrating.
Sam, I'm curious, Sam, watching that on TV, like what insight you had. Because live, like I'm sure you guys all felt the same way in the stadium. Like they're not showing that replay. It's against, you know, it's in their favor. So they're not showing that on TV. We were all very confused. So, Sam, I'm curious.
Oh, very, very clearly pass interference. He was early. Ball kind of like churns. The ball is like about to hit him, but yeah, then ball gets hit. It was definitely early. Broadcast agreed that it should not have been picked up. Maybe a bit of a makeup call for, you know, there was the hands to the face on the Ole Miss field goal earlier, which should have been called, which would have given them, you know, a first and goal at like the 2-yard line. So. But, yeah, no, it stinks, especially given the moment you're backed up, making the throw out of your own end zone, and that would have at least gotten you to your own 15-yard line, have some breathing room. But, no, he was 100% pass interference, like kind of similar, like bang-bang to the old Saints one back in the day a few years ago, the Rams-Saints one that was so egregious that never got called. Wasn't that bad, but, like, kind of similar to, you know, the corner coming in a little bit just too early. And, yeah, stinks, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I thought if that safety had any ball skills, that's going six the other way.
No, really, I saw when he threw it. Yeah.
Probably should have.
Yeah. But it's all right. Gators that come back next Saturday against Tennessee. Is there anything else you guys want to chat about Ole Miss wise, or quick preview into tonight's basketball game against Miami in Vistar Arena in Jacksonville, Florida?
Let's talk ball.
Yeah.
For the football game.
Yeah, I'm sick of talking football until our new coach is hired. Miami, revamped Miami. I think Jay Lucas is our head coach, first year head coach. So we just got done playing Miami, Florida State in Gainesville with a win. New head coach, alum from Florida State. He's obviously changing the trajectory of that program already through 3 or 4 games. Kind of same with Jay Lucas. I haven't played anybody yet. Beat Jacksonville by 17, Bethune-Cookman by 40, and Stetson by 41. So all in-state opponents this time, but obviously none bigger than a test against the defending national champions and the 10th-ranked Florida Gators. I know I'll be leaving Tupelo around 6:30 in the morning, so this will probably drop after we get on the road and make it in time for an 8:30 tip in Jacksonville. So a long weekend of the Gators. Hopefully Todd Golden and the boys in the weekend on a high note for us Florida fans that made the journey from Oxford, and will also be getting back into town for that. Sam, anything you've seen basketball-wise from Miami? I know Jay Lucas, alum of Miami as well, and how he's – I know they got a lot of talent this offseason. Anything that sticks out with the Hurricanes basketball team?
Yeah, can't say I've seen much of them. But just knowing them, I know they have a different team every year with, you know, the portal. I know they're just portal demons, and they're always flipping the roster and getting good talent. So I expect them to probably be a good physical test. And, you know, hopefully we can find more rhythm, continue, you know, find that identity that I kind of have preached a couple times. And, you know, hopefully the guards can start hitting some shots. The three-point shooting can't be under that 20% line again. That would be a no bueno. But, yeah, on Miami, couldn't tell you much about this coach, you know, what he's running and stuff like that. So maybe someone else can shed a little bit more light on them and some of their roster. But hopefully we can just go out there and get another W over an in-state rival.
Well, they do have Trey Donaldson and True Washington. And if you know True Washington, brother Tutu Washington, that went to Kentucky, Sam, from that Phoenix area. I believe they went to I'm trying to remember what high school. I actually saw a game of Tutu or Ty Washington in high school covering them back in the day. So they got some talent.
Yeah, the Florida Basketball Hour guys did a good little preview of this game and how talented this Miami team is. You know, you're the defending champs, so you're going to get everybody's best shot. It's an in-state rival. Just come out, hopefully see a better shooting performance. But, yeah, you're getting up at 6 o'clock, Jackson. I think our plan is to get up at 4. And try to get back in time for the Jaguar game. So we'll see if that works out. It's a quick turnaround.
Are you going to the game? Or are you gonna make it in time to attend, or are you just gonna watch it from the couch?
No. Just trying to not have to watch it on the phone. So we'll hopefully be on the road here in a few hours and can end the weekend with a Jaguars win and a Gator basketball win to cap the night off.
Waking up that early for the Jaguars.
Crazy.
I mean,
the 5-4 Jaguars.
You know, the amount of London games you guys play, you know, you guys are probably pretty used to it, so.
Hoops talk.
5-4 Jacksonville Jaguars in a playoff spot over the Chiefs as of now. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate the input. Yeah, I'm excited for the basketball game. I think everyone's looking at the same thing, and that's the shooting. Excited to see how Xavier Lee comes out and bounces back from that performance. I know he's getting shots up after that 1-10 night. So, you know, we talked about it, but the spacing was there. He was creating shots. He just wasn't hitting them. So I'm really looking forward to watching him and hopefully watching a bounce back performance and seeing Boogie build off that confidence he seemed to find in the second half. So it's going to be a fun one. 8:30 on a Sunday. You don't usually get to watch your Gators on that time slot. So that'll be fun.
Well, we are used to seeing our Gators in primetime in football, despite being 3-7, just got announced that we're hosting Tennessee next Saturday night at 7:30 on ABC. So I don't want to hear any talk about how we're not a premier job in the country. Shout out to the Gator fans that travel to Oxford. You got to go through Tupelo or Memphis to get there. It's not the easiest place to get to, but shout out to the crowd that showed up. It was awesome here in Oxford, seeing all the orange and blue. And, you know, I see most of them make their travel back to Jacksonville. And we'll see you guys Saturday in the Swamp. We'll be at our law school spot. Join us Wednesday morning, Tuesday night, we're recording with former national champion, All-American, mine and Sam's professor in college, James Bates, will be joining the show. He is a native of Tennessee, so a lot of great content and conversation with old Batesy coming up Wednesday morning. So we hope you guys can join us then. And just make sure to like, subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. And we'll get back with you guys on another episode of Breakfast Bites come Wednesday morning. Go Gators.
Always go Gators. Go Gators.